everybody. Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I'm so excited to be here with a sweet friend that you're going to get to know and so enjoy. Yolanda, hanging out today. Thank you so much for coming and joining me on Table Talk. It's going to be a really good time. And we do have to say that your sweet brother is the one that said, Betsy, you need Yolanda.
Yes, my brother is the instigator.
He is the instigator of this whole thing, which I am so thankful. You can take it up with your brother.
I will.
So fun. And I think that's a neat thing. So tell us who your brother is.
My brother is Raul Izquierdo. He was on the pastor's search team.
Yes. So he came and was on one of the very first Table Talks with me when we were interviewing the search team.
Yes.
And then I love all the connections because it took me a long time to get all of y'all's connections.
Yes.
But his daughter is Angie Solis.
Yes.
And so that whole sweet family of the Solises, we love them and they're awesome. So, so cool. Awesome. I love that y'all have family here at Sagemont. It's so funny because Emery Gad used to always say, be careful who you, what you say because you don't know who somebody's related to at Sagemont. Everybody's related to everybody, which is so funny. But when you really start digging into it, it's so cool to see all the extended families at Sagemont, which is really fun.
Yes, and it's great to be walking in the halls and it's like, hey, I see my niece or my great nieces. And so it's great.
I just think that's super, super fabulous. So I was super glad that he said, hey, my sister has an amazing story. And we love stories here at Table Talk. And getting to have honest conversations. And that's really what we're going to do today. And I'm so excited to do that with you. I do just want to right up front kind of tell everybody today our topic is going to be abortion and recovery from abortion and all those different things. And so we know so many people have walked through and been affected by abortion in so many different ways.
Yes.
And we wanted to make sure that you knew that's what we were going to talk about. So you can choose when to listen or when to watch this. Maybe if your kids are around, it might not be a conversation you're ready to enter into with them yet. We encourage you to do that at some point. Or even if it's something that is a part of your history or your story, we want you to be prepared just for what we're going to talk about. This is a little bit of a different kind of conversation for Table Talk. So we wanted to make sure everybody knew that that's what we're going to talk about today. And one of the things you and I talked about briefly is just that this topic is one that isn't talked about much.
Correct.
And it's very controversial in just the world at large. And that I so adore you're willing to go, but I'm talking about it. But I also love that she was like, this is obedience. This isn't, this isn't yay fun. This is the Lord has really called you to speak out about this topic.
Yes.
So kind of just start, tell us just your story. Where'd you grow up? Just tell us salvation, all those kind of neat things.
Okay, great. And again, thank you for letting me come today to speak about this because it is a very difficult topic. I understand that, but it's a topic that needs to be talked about. So, and in the church, I believe.
Absolutely.
I grew up in the East End and we grew up Catholic and, you know, good Catholic girl. Went to church every Sunday. I went to Catholic, an all-girl Catholic school. And, you know, my parents, they loved us. They took care of us. They just were not very loving and affectionate. And I think that's just history and just the way the nature of our heritage is. It's at the time. But I went there for many years. And when I was 18 and I was just out of high school and getting ready to, you know, start college, and I found out I was pregnant. And just, it was within months before we had just lost our father. It was, it was pretty bad. It was a pretty bad year. And I found out I was pregnant. The boy I was involved with at the time, he was in quite a mess himself. He was not in a good situation. He had started getting into some pretty heavy duty drugs. And I was so naive, I didn't realize to the extent and how heavy duty it was. And so he offered absolutely no support and was not able to help. And my family at the time, and with reason, they were upset. And so I just didn't have any support either way. So, and growing up Catholic, this is something that I never even contemplated. Sure. Or something that you always say, I'd never do that. And, you know, would never even think of doing something like that.
Everyone always says, it'll never happen to me.
Yes.
It's never, that's never going to be the situation I'm in until
Correct.
We're in it.
Correct.
And so, yeah, that's yes. why having these conversations are so important, because
yes.
most people we talk to in all kinds of different situations say, I never thought
yes.
I would be here. I
Correct.
Never thought this is where I'd end up.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it would never happen.
Right.
It'll never happen to me.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it did. And I, you know, at 18-year-old, I yeah. was, and growing up Catholic, I went back and forth. I was like, oh, I can do this. I can take care of this baby. How I was going to do it without any support, I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. But I just thought I would do it somehow. Then I would think, no, I can't do this. It's like, how could I possibly do this? I didn't have a job. I was out of school. I was just trying to go into college. I didn't have anything. I was living at home. Wasn't sure if I was going to be able to stay there.
Right.
And my mom was going through a lot herself, just having lost my dad. So I felt at the time, and because of all the stresses of everything and the fear, and I was in a lot of fear
sure.
and doubt, and I just thought, this is my only option. This is the best option for right now. And I just, and all I could think of, I just don't want to be pregnant. I didn't think about the next day. I didn't think about 10 years later. I didn't even think about 40 years later.
Sure.
I just thought, at the moment, I just don't want to be pregnant. So I chose to terminate, and I chose to have an abortion. And little did I know, it was a turning chapter in my life that just led down a really, really dark road for a very, very long time, because it led to depression, isolation. It led to more addictions. I turned to try to drink, to drinking and even some drugs, and I tried everything to try to cover up the pain, because I had no idea what I was doing and what was coming. And I just thought it would be gone and that was it. And I could just move on with my life. I could just go to school and just live a normal life. Little did I know, normal went away.
Yeah.
There was no normal anymore.
Yeah.
So, and try as I did try to go to church, but just sitting in church and the guilt, the overwhelming guilt that I felt, I just used to think, what am I doing? How in the world can I possibly sit here?
Right.
Because of what I've done. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, how in the world could I ever be forgiven for this? And I couldn't handle it. And I did seek confession, and it was a open confession at the time. And I remember the priest being upset with me after. I mean, he gave me penance and everything, but he was so upset he walked away
wow.
from me. And I thought, well, if he's walking away from
right.
me, yeah. I'm like, how in the world am I really forgiven?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I
mm-hmm.
just never felt that. And I just carried the guilt and the shame for decades. And my life just was never the same.
Mm-hmm.
It was never the same. And so I just basically, I just stopped going to church, because I just thought,
sure,
I have no business being there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Isn't that sad that the one place God
yes.
has put on earth for people to come
yes.
is his church.
Yes.
And
when you're hurting.
Yes. When
yes.
you're hurting, when you're broken, when you're
yes.
at your very lowest point.
Yes.
He put the church there for people to come to
yes.
be able to know him and learn about him. And And man, so often people, us sinful people, we get it wrong. We do it wrong. We handle it wrong. And granted, there's forgiveness for that as well. But man, to be so purposeful to make sure that we are a church that even just as a people, not just Sagemont Church, but as Christians, as people, we are making sure that we're loving people the way God loves them.
Right.
Because so often people will take our characteristics and put them on God and say, well, if they don't forgive me, how in the world is he going to forgive me?
Exactly.
Even though it should be backwards. Yes. He forgives me no matter what. But man, we get to be his representative.
Yes.
And that's, I think, one of the things that's so important for us to talk about this is, I mean, every Sunday we have women and men that have been through this walking into our church going, is anybody ever going to forgive me for this? Is God ever going to forgive me for this? We have opportunity all the time to be the Lord's representative in a correct way.
Right.
How did you ever get to a place where you found that?
Well, I started going back to church after I'm just dealing with years and years of depression. And I finally, you know, I saw my family. They had started going back. We had all pretty much moved away from the Catholic Church and we started going to different churches. Mm-hmm. And I just saw the difference in my family. Mm-hmm. You could just really see it. And my eldest sister, who we just lost a year ago, I could tell. I'm like, there's something different about you. Like, what is it? Because you're not the same type of person.
Yeah.
And she told me, it's like, well, you know, come to church with me. So I went with her and I got back into church and I started going. It was a non-denominational church at the time. And I went there with her for a few years and I was starting to get healing, but it was just always just this something. There's just that secret.
Yeah.
And it was just that I could never open up. And it even made it difficult for me just to even open up with relationships and just being friends. Cause it's like, how do you tell somebody? It's like, yes, I've been dealing with depression for 20, 30 years. Right. And it's because of this.
Yeah.
And again, because it's such a controversial subject, it's like, because I did turn to a friend one time and it backfired on me.
Yeah.
And I got judgment and anger, and I understand. I really do. But at the time, I needed love and sympathy and help. And I didn't know how to get it because at the time, I just felt so alone and I didn't know who to go to, where to go to. Right. Little did I know, I could just go to God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love that. Yes.
I could just go to God. Yeah. So I had my sister had left that church, and so I left too and went to another small church. But ultimately, my brother invited me here, and I came here and I never left. It was the best thing I did. Yeah. I found out about the counseling center. I found out about how they, you know, it's so funny. I tell people they take care of people from birth to death. I mean, they even have a cemetery thing if you need it. This church just takes care of people.
Yeah.
And that's what I just found. It was just it was my brother always says it's family, and it's not just my immediate family, but it's just other members. And you just see how loving and accepting everybody is. And so I stayed here and I made this my home church. And one day on our bulletin, I noticed that they were someone was holding a post-abortion support group called Forgiven and Set Free. And I saw that and I'm like, okay, I got to do this. I knew I had to do that.
Wow.
I didn't want to.
Sure.
Because I knew all the pain it was going to bring up, but I knew that that was there for me. And so
I think that's an interesting thing to think about, because I know for all of us with different things, we get to a place where, like, is there more healing and going back and actually dealing with it?
Yes.
Or figuring out how to just go, just move on. And I think we all kind of sometimes struggle with, do I really go back and dig all that to get to a healthier place? Or can I just move on. And I'm sure you, that's where you had been living for years of just, can I just move on? But it just kept.
But I wasn't moving on.
Right.
I had so much. I realized I had a lot of anger. I had the depression, needless to say, my addictive tendencies, my isolation, and just that feeling of just like, there's just something wrong with me. There's just always just not good enough. And how can I ever open up? And how can I people ever love me? And how can I ever be accepted because of what I did? And I just carried that for so long. And so I understand because, you know, you will hear women who will say, oh, that was no big deal. I got an abortion. It's no big deal. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just moved on. But I can guarantee you there is some part of your life that is affected.
Yeah.
You may not realize that's where it's coming from because for so many years, I didn't even realize where my anger was coming from.
Interesting.
I had no clue. I was angry at myself, of course, at just everybody involved.
Everybody.
I was just angry. And I just didn't realize how much of it I was carrying still.
Yeah.
And because I didn't want to look at the pain.
Yeah.
I didn't want, I mean, I understand you don't want to dredge up the pain. You don't want to dredge up the past. You want to let it go. But it's grabbing onto you with these claws that just keep sinking in and don't let go.
Yeah.
And it just keeps affecting your life in ways that you just don't ever imagine.
Yeah.
And that's what was happening to me.
And you are a walking testimony of the freedom that comes when you really allow the Lord to walk with you through his forgiveness and the freedom that comes from that.
Yes.
Yeah. So they had this group.
Yes.
You were brave and went.
Oh my goodness. Yes. That was just heart itself. And it was a, it was very small. Started out with three, women and it ended up with, two of us completing the course. And it was very difficult. Mm-hmm. It was, the pain was there. The tears were there. And, it was a 9-week course and I'm so grateful to the person who opened up to the church and said, hey, I want to do this. Right. And the church allowed her and it was because of her own recovery.
Right.
And it helped me get onto this road of recovery finally and just deal with it. And from there, oddly enough, I met another woman at church and she and I became friends and she opened up to me one day and told me that she had had an abortion. And it's like, you know, I mean, again, that's not
the
something
Lord.
That you talk about.
Yep.
Yes, it's the Lord.
The Lord putting you all together.
And she told me that she attended a 3-day retreat called Rachel's Vineyard. And when she, and she suggested that I attend. And of course I was just like, I don't need to go to that. I've already done my recovery. I'm good. I just, oh my God, I don't need to go.
Right.
I'm good. I've dealt with it and I'm okay. But yet I still knew there was just still a lot of pain there.
Mm-hmm.
And, so fortunately I listened to her and the Lord's promptings and I signed up to attend and it's a 3-day retreat and you go to this place and it's, the thing about the other group that I was in, it was once a week for 9 weeks. So it gave me a lot of time to like not deal with it.
Sure. Yeah.
And to where, because I didn't want to deal with the pain, needless to say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't want to purposefully stick your hand in the fire.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt like I was doing.
Right.
And, but at the retreat, I was there. It was all intensive and it was all, there was other women. There was like, I believe 10 women. I just felt so much love and support and just, there was no judgment there. There was just, they were just concerned with my healing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left there and I went there after, the retreat, it's so funny. You know how people say it's like, you find that freedom and the Lord sets you free. Mm-hmm. I was like, I found that. I was just like,
amazing.
Wow, I know.
Yeah.
I never understood it before. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, this is what that means.
Yeah.
It's like, I really found that freedom. And, I just realized it's like, I want to help other women because I was silenced for so long because of my own judgment. I didn't need anybody else to do it. I was judging myself plenty and my own guilt and shame that, this same ministry that I went through, the Rachel's Vineyard Retreat, which is called New Heart of Texas, they have a 24/7 helpline and it's called H3 Helpline. And, if I could just give you the number, and it's, of course, 866-721-7881. And it's a national helpline that helps, women and men with post-abortion support. Mm-hmm. And I knew that that was something that I wanted to do. So I've become a phone coach and I've talked to probably close to 400 women. Wow. And some men already. And we've spoken to people from all over the world, from England to Canada to Australia. Wow. So we get calls from everywhere. Yeah. Because people are hurting everywhere and we just offer them hope.
Yeah. I think it's so cool because so that retreat is still going.
Oh, yes.
People can look into that. If that's something that anybody that's listening or watching is like, I want more information about that.
Yes.
Rachel's Vineyard. Is
Rachel's
that what it's called?
Vineyard.
Rachel's Vineyard. Yes. So you can look into that. Those are still going all over the nation. You said even now starting in different parts of the world.
Yes, they're everywhere.
Which is really amazing.
Yes.
And then my heart breaks that there is a 365-day, 24-hour hotline. But I also am so thankful that there's an organization that's willing to do that.
Yes.
And when you were telling me that you were doing that, one, that's amazing that you're using your story to make that kind of an impact for people and be willing to do that. One of the things I was asking you is it people that are 2 days after or 20, 30 years after?
It's both and everything in between.
Yeah.
We've even spoken to some women who are considering abortion, and we tried to talk to them and just let them know, you know, that there are other options and not to be afraid and just there are adoption options. Mm-hmm. Just there's tons of help now with their babies and just to let them know that they're not alone, that they can get help and that they can choose a different option.
That's right.
So we do try to talk to them. But yes, we've spoken to women and men that, yes, it was just a day ago and I just spoke with someone not too long ago. It's been 50 years and she hadn't spoken to anyone about it all those years. No one knew. Her family didn't know. Her husband didn't know. But she knows that she's been carrying all this guilt and how it affected her family life and the depression she's dealt with. But nobody understood why. Mm-hmm. And that's why we talk to them. And we do provide resources there. We will tell them about like the retreats and other groups that are available. Mm-hmm. We try to find something close to them, you know, in their areas because it is nationwide. And so we speak to people from all over. So we try to find something close to them where they can actually get plugged in and start the healing process
and get the support.
Get healed. Yes.
So they don't. So the lies of isolation.
Yes.
Can be taken care of by saying, no, there are people that will come around.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because healing is possible from this. It's like you think that.
Say that again.
Healing is possible.
Healing is possible.
Healing
y'all,
is possible.
I think sometimes with different things, all kinds of different sins and things that we deal with, we just get in this weird place of, I'm going to have to deal with this forever.
Yes.
This is going to be, and not that it's not your story, but you have healing from it.
Yes.
And so it's a redeemed story.
Yes.
And I think, y'all hear that.
Yes.
There is healing.
Yes.
God is in the healing business. This is what he does.
Yes.
And we get in our own way so often.
Yes. Because even growing up Catholic and being in a church for so many years. And even before I did this, I'd be sitting in church here and I would be thinking, yes, but there was a part of me that's like, yes, I know Jesus died for me, but for this? Yeah. I used to think I couldn't understand mm-hmm. it. I couldn't think this is just something that it's just too much. It was too far. And how could yeah. this possibly be forgiven? But that's why I used to just, even though sitting there, I would just think that I know Jesus died for my sins, but how for yeah. this? And yeah. going through these retreats, going through this healing, it reminded me that, yes, Christ died on that cross and the sin of abortion was on that cross.
That's right.
Jesus wasn't mm-hmm. on that cross saying that, no, I'm dying here for everybody except.
Except that.
Right.
Amen.
He died for all of it, including the sin.
That's right.
So, and that's where I was able to finally let this go and finally just find freedom with it and speak about it. I mean, for years, I couldn't even say the word abortion, sure. much as try to speak to anyone about it. So now that's why I do the, I'm a phone coach, and that's why I try to offer support yeah. and just to let them know that they're not alone and God isn't this mean, grumpy old man sitting on a throne who just wants waiting to right. punish you. Mm-hmm. He's just this loving father who knows that they're hurting.
Yeah.
He knows that they're hurting.
Yeah. I love it. A few weeks ago in one of Pastor Levi's messages, he said, a lot of times we have to just say, I trust you, Lord.
Yes.
And let my feelings catch up.
Yes.
And not wait for my feelings to be at a place of going, oh, I feel this, and just going, no, I trust
yes.
that God's word is true and
yes.
that Jesus died on a cross for all of my sins.
Yes.
And I trust that. And Lord, help my feelings catch up to that.
Yes.
But just choosing to trust it. Because a lot of times if we sit around and wait for it to feel, then we're doubting and we aren't just in that trust.
True. And if we get on our feelings, then we start, you know, judging ourselves and we start yeah. condemning ourselves. And then we get into the horrible cycle of like, well, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve anything because of everything that I've done. And it's like, I shouldn't be healed. I shouldn't allow to be healed. I deserve to be punished. And you get into this spiral and all it leads you, you know, the enemy's winning with you at the time because he wants to keep
right.
us there.
Absolutely.
And it's not trusting God, as you're saying. It's like, and to know that he's the one who's forgotten. We're the one who are hanging right. on to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I love that so much. And I would say for anybody that's listening or watching, Sagemont partners with 5 different crisis pregnancy centers here yes. in the Houston area that we can refer you to. You don't have to say Sagemont. You can just walk into any of those places if you are in a position of being pregnant and scared and not knowing what
yes.
to do. Our prayer for you is that you will see all the other options, and abortion is not one. And we so want that for
yes.
all women. And,
yes.
but we also know it's just like you said, it's scary. It seems overwhelming.
Yes.
It's in the moment.
Yes.
I just need this done.
Yes.
And it's having to look past that.
Yes.
And, the crisis pregnancy centers around here are fabulous.
Yes,
they are so good. They will meet you right where you are. We have our counseling center. Listen, Yolanda will meet with you.
Yes,
she will sit and just chat with you and help you. And so if you're in that position, know that we want to love you and we want to help support you so you don't feel that isolation, that's just a lie from the enemy. There are people here that want to help you and support you. And then I would also say to everyone else that's listening that hasn't been through that, man, start praying for your heart to be open to love people where they are and
yes.
with what they're going through
yes.
and process through, do I have judgment that I haven't even thought about could hurt someone
right.
and processing through. If someone said, you know, I had an abortion when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
Am I in a place with the Lord that I can love that person? Or I'm in a place where I'm going to be judgmental. And because I think sometimes if we don't stop and look, then when different things hit us, we aren't prepared. And I think, man, we as believers need to be prepared to talk with people and to
yes.
love people well.
Yes.
We need to take time to do that.
And have the keep the conversation open, even for those young men and women, or not even young men and women. We speak to women of all ages that call us, and Christian. It's not like these are non-Christian.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
And married.
Yes.
And where you would think
all the things.
Why would you even consider this? Mm-hmm. But because of every situation you can think of,
yep.
But that we have all the justifications in our head. It all makes sense on paper sometimes, but in our hearts, when your heart is broken,
yeah.
None of that matters anymore. None of it. And it doesn't, you just need to be open and keep that conversation open, because somebody may come to you and say, this is, I need help.
Yeah.
And then what? And you're right. The pregnancy centers close to here, they are incredible. They still volunteer with them, and they're incredible. They offer so much help. So regardless of your situation, regardless of anything, and it's just, I want you to be aware also is that even though you think, okay, we're in Texas and I know that the abortion is illegal here now, which it's fantastic, but they're still happening here. Yeah. They are still happening. And especially with the convenience of the abortion pill, people are getting things to the mail. And so we're getting calls and it's still happening. Yeah. So I'd like to say that it's like, great, it's illegal, it's not happening anymore, but it's just not true.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
So yes, it's like people need to know that, you know, of course, you know, you're a kid, you think, oh, I don't want to go and tell my parent, or I'm older and I'm not in a good relationship with someone, but still I just need to let them know. It's like, this is, you know, regardless of the situation you're in, it is a gift from God and it's not to be taken lightly.
Yeah.
And it won't ever go away. Yeah. Once you think you get rid of your problem. No.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't ever go away.
Yeah.
So.
Man. I so appreciate you being willing to share so openly. And you're such a great example of, for every one of us, all of us have walked through things.
Yes.
And man, be willing to share that, because it can make such an impact. And God will use the things you've walked through for other people to point them back to Him, to encourage, help people not feel alone.
Yes.
That you can look at someone and go, okay, they get it. They understand.
Yes.
And so I'm so appreciative that you're willing to do that. Mm-hmm. And y'all, I do know, if you see Yolanda in the hallway, or if you reach out to me here at the church, I know she wouldn't mind if I gave you her phone number.
That's
she
fine.
Would meet you. Mm-hmm. She would hang out with you. And maybe, maybe you haven't gone through this, but maybe you have a friend or a sister or a child or someone, and talking to Yolanda or somebody will help you know, how do I talk to them?
Yes.
How do I talk about this? How do I love them? And also say, but I hate that you did this, but I love you and we're going to be able to get through this and have those conversations. I know she would be more than willing to sit down and just chat with you about
very much
that.
So
yeah.
Yes. And we have, you know, as Pastor Levi's been telling us too, we have an incredible counseling center that I went to for a while too.
Yeah.
And I was able to get some healing there as well. So there's so much healing available. And yes, just reach out. You don't have to carry this alone. You don't have to live with this pain anymore. You can truly find love and forgiveness through God. And that's why Jesus did what he did.
That's
so
right.
We don't have to carry this. So there is help available. And yes, I would love to, or anybody can call the helpline.
Yeah.
And I know it's like some people, we even get, you know, callers. It's like, you can just hear it in their voice. It's just them trying just to tell us, you know, what they're going through and what they went through. And there's no judgment. It's just, we just want to help them to begin to heal.
Yeah.
That's it. Because that's what the Lord did for me. So I just want them to know it's possible, because I never thought I would do this.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But
I love it.
Because it's for the Lord. So it's for His glory, not mine. So And through his obedience, through my obedience with him.
Sorry. Yes, no, that's absolutely right. I love that. Thank you so much for being willing and coming and hanging out. I appreciate it so much. And y'all, like I said, reach out, make the first phone call, make the first contact if you need to. And for all of us, be praying for our country, for people, for all of this, just that, wisdom will prevail. Love will win. We know it does, right? Mm-hmm. It already has. God took care of that. in the end, the battle is won. But man, just covering this, this in prayer and people that are walking through this and making sure that as people, we are loving people well. We're loving people well. Thanks for hanging out today. And we will see you next time on Table Talk.